Aromatherapy is one of the most ancient methods for treating illnesses, as effective as it is pleasant. It is the art and science of using essential oils extracted from plants for curative purposes. This will be followed by a look at the stars to see what the role of Venus in our astrogram has on our relationships. Find out more about the eternal and magical world of Shambhala and discover the hidden gateways into that world. Today's meditation is the communion with the spiritual beings from Shambhala. Amaris, Tiger Lily, and Valentino will be your yogi hosts through today's revelations.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. What is aromatherapy? Aromatherapy is one of the most ancient methods for treatment, as effective as it is pleasant. It is the art and science of using essential oils extracted from plants for curative purposes. The ancient civilizations, Greek, Egyptian, Roman, and Chinese, used the substances extracted from aromatic plants in their religious rituals, as well as for healing the body, mind, and soul. The term for these substances is essential oils, because they contain the most important elements in a plant. They contain the characteristic aroma and the vital force of the plant. How does aromatherapy work? The molecules in essential oils, when inhaled, stimulate the olfactive nerve and induce a series of complex phenomena, sending messages to the brain. Thus, the inhalation of the molecules from the essential oils determines physiological changes inside the body, more precisely in the nervous, endocrine, and immune systems. Aromatherapy has significant emotional effects as well. For instance, the aroma of cinnamon creates the feeling of comfort, warmth, and safety. There are many methods to spread the odors through a room. The most common are electrical devices or aromatherapy lamps, perfumed candles, and incense sticks. Another method from which one may benefit is the massage using special essential oils. Specialized shops sell massage lotions that contain essential oils used for health, beauty, or comfort. For instance, a massage on the chest using eucalyptus essential oil is excellent for respiratory problems. Moreover, you may pour essential oils in the tub in order to relax at the end of a difficult day. Lemon volatile essential oil. This essential oil has a wide variety of indications. Anemia, frostbite, bad peripheral circulation, arterial hypertension, diabetes, nausea, conjunctivitis, oily hair or oily skin, asthma, cold, flu, burns, laryngitis, herpes, wrinkles, and juvenile acne. Mint volatile essential oil. This essential oil is also used for a variety of purposes. For instance, it is administered orally as a replacement for aspirin, as well as in the treatment of diarrhea, dental problems, indigestion, stomach aches, cold, flu, migraine, menstrual pains, herpes, and insect bites. Lavender volatile essential oil. This essential oil is quite useful in treating exhaustion and depression because it is an excellent relaxing agent. Moreover, lavender may be successfully used in treating burns, as well as unpleasant sensations caused by insect bites. Rosemary volatile essential oil. It is used in the treatment of digestive disorders, indigestions, colitis, and constipation, as well as circulatory system problems, as it stabilizes the arterial tension. Moreover, rosemary essential oil calms muscular, rheumatic, and menstrual pain. Methods to use volatile essential oils. Essential oils are usually highly concentrated. Therefore, if you intend to use them for massage and they do not come in special massage lotions, don't use them undiluted. For inhalation, 10 drops on a paper napkin or handkerchief, or 10 drops in 100 milliliters of hot water. For compresses, 10 drops in 125 milliliters of water. For baths, 5 to 10 drops in the tub, or 8 to 10 drops in 500 milliliters of lukewarm water. For massage, 15 to 30 drops in 50 milliliters of oil. For internal use, 3 to 4 drops in natural juice, water with honey, or milk, 3 to 4 times a day, or 2 to 3 drops in a cup of tea, 3 times a day. Caution! If you intend to use this method in the treatment of certain diseases, you should first check with a specialist in the field. However, it is important that you know that the treatment must not last for more than 3 weeks. A Relational Perspective Upon Venus's Position in the Zodiac, Part 5. Venus in Capricorn. It is not very favorable to sentimental and erotic life. The persons who have this position tend to take their friendships very seriously, being responsible, mature, and reticent in beginning a more intimate relationship. They control their feelings up to the point of completely inverting them. They're very sober with others in general, and with the representatives of the other sex in particular. They don't show their feelings, and they need much time to let someone approach them. It's very hard for them to fall in love, but when they do, it can be for all their life. They're predisposed to solitude, and they prefer to suffer in silence than to manifest their love if the other person doesn't pay them the expected attention. Sometimes they can marry from interest, for convenience, or even from a strong sense of duty. They're generally preoccupied by their social and professional position, to which they pay a lot of time, and they expect their lovers to have a similar position. They're not fond of domestic life, and they generally don't like children. Although they seem very distant, when they really like someone, they're very devoted and can make many sacrifices to continue a relationship. Venus in Aquarius. It gives the natives an airy or ethereal sensibility, with a light, gracious, sublimed nuance. Their emotions are very elevated, and they live in a state of serenity, very distant from Earth. They understand love in a very idealized way, and their eroticism is rather a way of living a spiritual communion. Sometimes the accent is put on a very free and non-conformist way of manifesting themselves, ignoring social constraints. They're not interested in marriage as a social rigid habit because they think that what really matters is the soul and spiritual communion. Their relationships are not based on physical interaction, but when it is the case, they don't have any prejudices in making love, and they're very open-minded in their erotic expectations. They don't like possessive and jealous people because for them, liberty is the most important criteria in a couple, and if they feel constrained, they leave relationships. They're good friends, being interesting and often original companions. Venus in Pisces gives the native very much tenderness, sensitivity, compassion, and kindness. Their love is often based on a mystical view of the world, and they're characterized by a dominant power of transfiguration and devotion. They can seem incoherent in their feelings and manifestations because they act in accordance to some invisible realities which only they perceive by their intuitive structures. Sometimes this position can give the tendency to have uncertain and mysterious relationships with an indefinite status and in a perpetual change. This enables the individual to live in a complete liberty of manifestation. They like privacy very much. and they feel making love as a total way of abandoning themselves, of merging with the person they love. They can't stand any form of constraint, and if they're forced to do something, they just slip between your fingers. When they feel inspired, they are very loving beings, being able to sacrifice themselves for their beloved. They also have a very charitable soul, and they live for others, sharing their happiness with them and trying to soothe their sorrows.
This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. Shambhala is eternal. Part 2. There are secret gateways to this world. Thus, the main spiritual focal point is the projection of Shambhala in our world. This not only means that the connection with Shambhala is quite strong, but also that the people from Shambhala act directly in order to help the spiritual evolution of our planet, through the people who have the privilege of being part of these spiritual groups. The projection of Shambhala may be said to be a direct, even extended manifestation of Shambhala in our physical universe. Furthermore, there are some secret gateways which allow the passage from our world to another. This fact is also visible in the legend surrounding this story. It is obvious that in the past, the privileged place from a spiritual point of view was Tibet, and therefore it was considered the projection of Shambhala. This is also the reason for which the most consistent and authentic information on Shambhala can be discovered in the Tibetan tradition. Nevertheless, if we go back in time, we discover that Tibet was not always the most powerful spiritual center of our planet. During each period, this focal point used to coincide with the area of projection of Shambhala. They were Egypt, Greece, India, ancient Dacia, Ireland, South America, and so forth. Even though almost all ancient authentic traditions are forgotten these days, the special spiritual imprint of these places remains the same. The resonance with the world of Shambhala is still active and powerful in these places, and this aspect is easily revealed to the yogis who are capable of meditation on this subject. Just as it is more likely to feel closer to God in a church or in a beautiful landscape, and not in a bar or a superstore, in the same manner, the subtle imprint of these mysterious and privileged places awakens in any pure and receptive person a mystical thrill, a special fascination, which quite often hides the uplifting and unsuspected influence of Shambhala. Beyond the tourist attraction of the Sphinx in Egypt, of the Sun Pyramid in Mexico, or of the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, Greece, we may also easily and clearly decipher the fascination of the spiritual force of Shambhala. The official history is part of Kali Yuga. We need to make a note. In the light of the Oriental tradition, history is longer and more complex than what we have been taught in school. If the official history includes tens or hundreds of thousands of years, the perspective of spirituality is disturbingly vast, almost impossible to understand with a normal human mind. For instance, the religious history treaty, The Blue Annals, written in the 15th century and first translated in the Occident by George Roerich in 1949, begins with an evocation of the Sakyas, the kinsmen of Buddha Gautama. They mention that after the last destruction of the universe, previous to our cosmic cycle, another creation occurred. During the first period after the creation, the life of people lasted for millions of years. After this interval followed the lineage of no less than 1.2 million of kings before Buddha was born. Thus, the human civilization is supposed to be billions of years old. The Hindu tradition states that the life of the universe and of the planet Earth is divided in cycles of evolution, precisely calculated. Cycles referring both to the universal and human evolution. We will offer you a simplified presentation of these cosmic cycles. Each cycle in the development of mankind lasts more than 4 million years, and after a precise number of such cycles, humankind disappears, only to become manifested again according to divine will. An evolutionary cycle begins with an interval of utmost spiritual flourishing, known as Satya Yuga or the Golden Age, followed by a slow spiritual decline, passing through two intermediary ages known as Treta Yuga and Dvapara Yuga, the Silver Age and respectively the Copper Age. Mankind reaches now the so-called Dark Age, or Kali Yuga, a period characterized by an utmost spiritual decline of mankind. During this Dark Age, all moral and spiritual values are altered, and the main predominance is materialism. This is our age, and almost the entire history as we know it is part of this Dark Age. Nonetheless, some authentic spiritual traditions still keep some records from the Bronze Age, when people were able to contact the gods and had access to the parallel spiritual universes. The Maya tradition divides the planetary evolution into cosmic cycles as well, and states that the end of a cycle is determined by a catastrophe. According to this spiritual history, we live during the time of the fifth sun, whose end is predicted for the year 2012, through the modification of the Earth's axis. The same solar cycles can be found in the Iranian tradition as well, and the list does not end here. Therefore, if we ask ourselves, how is it possible that all the old traditions from the entire surface of the world are so alike? The most probable answer is that all traditions are inspired by the same source. The reason for which they assert similar things is simply that this is the reality we live in.
Let us perform a meditation on the theme of communion with the spiritual beings from Shambhala. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the state or aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck and your head are in an upward position and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you eliminate all tensions, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: communion with the spiritual beings from Shambhala. Let us begin.
Sufletul față de influențele benefice profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala. profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala. Ascultându-ne credință spre comunia spirituală cu tărâna divină a Shambhala. Când deschid sufletul față de influențele benefice profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala. Sufletul față de influențele benefice profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala. față de influențele benefice profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala. Aș fi plin de credință spre comunia spirituală cu tărâna divină a Shambhala. Investind sufletul față de influențele benefice profund transformatoare ale ființelor superioare din Shambhala.
That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.